Welcome into the second exclusive episode of the week. You had the Andy Sullivan episode drop for you earlier today, and today we have Michelle Kaufman from the Miami Herald here to talk to us about the fact that, you know, the certain somebody that we all thought might have been visiting on Saturday, we have just the rest of them, just all of the rest of them. Michelle, thanks for joining us.
Sure, yeah. Actually, my editor said, you know, they're sending me to the D.C. game because we figured that he would play this one, probably would not play the New York one because they have these two Argentina games. And now it looks like he's not going to play this one, but I'm still going to go. I will be there to cover Messi's supporting cast. So
that's right. That's right. The other actors as featured, you're going to see Christian Benteke come back from injury.
Okay.
So lucky you. That's worth the plane trip alone. I think he was practicing in full this week. So for before we get into like the tactics of how things have gone this season and also the game against Nashville yesterday. I believe you were covering this team before Messi, correct? So you were here in the first season before it was.
Yeah, I was here with
the Phil Neville show.
Miami Fusion. So I've been around since 1997.
Okay.
I've been following Miami soccer. So yeah, I was definitely here before Messi.
You have seen the glory and the less than glory, and then the contraction, and now here we are. So I really want to get it. Kind of has to feel like a. Maybe a reward from the amount of attention now that we're getting. Maybe in the past you had a team that ceased to be. You had an expansion team, however they were going to call it, trying to sort of reestablish relevance in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. And now you're the center of the soccer universe in a lot of ways. It's got to feel. What does that feel like? I just can't even conceive of all the different variants of Miami soccer you've experienced.
Yeah, it's definitely the highest profile that this beat has ever been. I mean, I've been sort of the patron saint of soccer for three decades down here and, you know, trying to convince people to read about soccer. And although down here, to be honest, Miami's been, you know, it's a global city and everyone here, there are so many people here who love soccer. And so it wasn't really much of a convincing. And my editors, I'm very pleased that the editors at the Miami Herald have always recognized that the market here is not like other places. This is a very global city. There's much more interest in international soccer than there is in a lot of other sports here. The big question is, you know, was there going to be a following for MLS? So, you know, there's always been a following here for international soccer, for World Cups, for Champions League, for Copa Libertadores, Copa America, all that stuff. You know, the question was, would people tune in for an MLS team? Were they going to care about Inter Miami against DC or Inter Miami against Columbus or Inter Miami against Kansas City? So, you know, it was doing okay. I mean, they were doing okay. Phil Neville actually is the only coach who got this team to the playoffs. You know, they got to sixth place. They made the playoffs. They made a lot of improvements. But it was pretty clear at the start of 23 that something was brewing. You know, there was things brewing and that Phil was probably not going to get a chance to coach this team if they brought in Messi. And they really were pursuing Messi for years at this point. You know, it was a three-year courtship from Jorge Mas to get him. So, you know, the idea is that Miami is a global city and they want this team to be the one that reaches South America and Central America. They want Miami to be the adopted team of, they want Miami to be the adopted MLS team of fans in all over South America and Central America and the Caribbean, you know, and by having Messi here, obviously, and his friends, you know, people around the world who never would have watched an MLS match are all of a sudden watching an MLS match. They're watching my podcast, Inside Inter Miami. I have people watching on there and commenting from Tangiers and Gabon and you know, Singapore and Thailand and New Zealand and literally every corner of the world follows Messi. And so when you are the beat writer, you get messages and emails from people all over the world. I've done interviews with reporters or radio shows in Hungary, in Germany, in Romania, in New Zealand, Ireland, England, you know, the BBC. I did a Der Spiegel story with a reporter in Germany. So there's just so much global interest in this team. And then when Apple did the documentary Messi Meets Miami, I got to be one of the recurring characters on that.
You did.
So I kind of felt like I was on Ted Lasso or something, you know. I was like the reporter character. I wasn't quite as eccentric as that guy was, but anyway, yeah, when you're the beat writer for Inter Miami, it's different from being the beat writer for the Columbus Crew or, you know, any of the other teams, Orlando City. So a lot of cities don't even have a beat writer. And down here, it really is, to be honest, the Dolphins, you know, the Dolphins are the Dolphins. Everyone down here loves the Dolphins. That's really the king sport down here. The Miami Heat gets a lot of attention when they're doing well, not as much when they're not. And Inter Miami's right up there now. I mean, that beat right now is up there with the Dolphins and with the Heat. It's big. My editors recognize that. I get a lot of, you know, I get a lot of space. I write about this team just about every day. And I, you know, I'm boots on the ground. That's I go amazing. To all the training sessions. I go to all the games. And yeah, it's a completely different beat now. I never had a podcast before Messi got here. Like, my life completely changed. On June 7th, 2023, it's like people remember where they were, you know, when different things happen. I remember where I was on June 7th. I was under the Eiffel Tower in Paris on vacation with my husband. And I knew that this might happen. Jorge Mas had been basically telling me for 3 years that they're going to get Lionel Messi. And I was like, yeah, right. Yeah, sure, I know sure. You want to, you would love to, but is that really going to happen? Is the greatest player in the world really going to come play at the second or worst team in the entire MLS in a temporary stadium? Like, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. But on June 7th, it did. And my life definitely changed.
And most other people, not to the degrees yours did, but I think it's changed all of our level of, I think, interest in some of the work that we're doing. So, hello to the global audience that does not normally listen to a DC United podcast if you're tuning in. I had one question sort of before we get into the play on the field right now. You know, Inter Miami has a kind of short history, but in that short history, they had the accidental fourth DP situation. They had sanctions. They had a GM that had been banned from the league. And then this year, they had an early compliance. Not it wasn't an issue yet. It was just a not yet in compliance situation that was kind of had a lot of attention on it because of the players they had on the roster and what they had to do. They had to shed some salary. Something had to happen. And you saw DeAndre Yedlin go to FC Cincinnati. You saw center back who's now in Portland who
yeah.
Yep.
Oh, Kamal Miller. Yeah.
So yeah, Kamal Miller. That was a little bit beforehand, but still like they were moving some veterans to try to, you know, make things work out. As you were around the team as that was going on, did it feel tense as that was going on? Did they feel like a ticking clock where they were trying to get under the deadline and still have a team that's not at all.
I think that story, honestly, I thought that story was overblown. All of the teams have to be compliant by a certain date. And there were many other teams also that everyone wasn't, it's not like the entire league had been compliant for a long time. And Miami was like approaching this tight deadline. It wasn't, they had deals going, they had negotiations going with players for weeks months in a few cases. And yeah, they had to close those deals in order to be compliant. And they did. They had to shed a bunch of salary, which they had planned to from the minute last season ended. We knew that that was going to happen. This was not a big surprise. I just think that everything with this team is magnified. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, sure. Everything with this team is magnified. That particular story I thought was much ado about nothing. Other stories, you know, obviously the sanctions and everything that happened before was different. In this case, no. I mean, I know Chris Henderson well. He knows exactly what he's doing. There's nothing shady about him at all. You know, he is like as, you know, he's as clean cut as it comes. Anyone who knows Chris Henderson, there's like nobody more clean cut than that guy. And yeah, they had to, the problem is, some of the people that they're dealing with, some of the negotiations they were in were maybe, I don't want to say contentious, no, but they were complicated because you're talking about players making a lot of money, the ones that were going to leave and the ones that they want to bring in. it's not just random players like some other teams might have. You're talking about high profile players, players that are also negotiating with Bayern Munich and Liverpool and, you know, big time clubs. They're competing against those clubs for some of these players that they're talking about in Latin America now. And, you know, like Redondo was also getting bids from Bayern Munich. Then on the other side, you've got guys on the Miami team who did not want to leave. To be honest, guys want to play with Messi right now. And even if they could have more minutes in another city, some of them are saying, I don't want to go. I'd rather stay here and sit on the bench with Lionel Messi than go play for another team in MLS. So unloading some guys from Miami is not as easy maybe as it used to be. Now everybody wants to be on Messi's team. Everyone wants to be part of the circus. I mean, it is a circus, but these guys want to be part of it. It raises their profile. You know, some of the other guys like Robert Taylor and others have said, Kamal Miller said it. Unfortunately, you know, he's now in Portland, you know, back with Phil. So he's not getting that exposure that he was getting. But several players have said from the time that Messi got here that their profile raises just by being his teammate. When you're on the field with him, more people around the world are seeing you play. And that's fans, that's scouts, that's other coaches. You know, so people that are tuning into Apple and seeing Messi's games, they are also seeing his teammates. And they're seeing people around the league, too, by the way. Everyone around the league is getting more exposure, including the opposing players. Everybody is getting more exposure because of this one little man. And so, you know, it's a little difficult now for them to shed players, because some of the players that they had offers for, I can tell you, did not want to leave. They were like, well, yeah, I may get to start and do this and that on that team, but I'd rather stay here. I'd rather stay here and have this unbelievable opportunity to play with the best player of all time. So no, thank you. I'll just keep my smaller salary and sit on the bench on this team. So I think Chris Henderson had a lot of complicated negotiations that were going on in those last final weeks before that deadline. I don't think that it was that they were scrambling and they were under pressure. I think they were complicated negotiations going on, and they reached the number, and they now shed more people, and they shed Yedlin, and now they have, you know, $800,000 or $900,000 more to bring in a couple of other guys that they want to bring in now from Latin America. So they're still cooking. They're not done. They're still cooking.
If Miami needed any more help to attract international players, you're already in Miami. Now you have Messi as an attraction too. Like, not like it was hard before. Now it's even easier. And two, I think that you made a good point. It makes the U22 roster spots really intriguing to fill, because you know that you're buying an asset that will appreciate by sheer dint of existing and being on the field. Basically, if these players produce at a, you know, at an even consistent level of whatever you brought them in at, you know, you're going to flip them for more. Because of the Messi effect, because of being on the, I think that's a, no other team has got that. No other team is ever going to get that. And then I think it's also really well spotted about how the league and fans sort of put the scrutiny on Miami. I remember back, you know, in the Beckham days, there was Beckham rules, and everyone thought MLS was just like bending roster rules for compliance just so that. So I think MLS does itself no favors by like its lack of transparency around those things. So right. In a vacuum, everyone just assumes like, well, their salary cap must be like three times more than everybody else's, and it's just magically not. they look the other way.
No, I mean the but league definitely.
You know,
the
that's
league,
not the way it is.
Yeah, the league definitely is promoting Messi, and the league definitely wants. They want this experiment to work. They, you know, they wanted Messi. They wanted Beckham to work. They want Messi to work. I mean, they're getting so many eyeballs on this league right now that they would not be getting if he weren't here. So, of course, the league wants this team to be a high-profile team. They want him to play. I'm sure they're not happy that he's not playing against DC, and he didn't play against Montreal, and he may not play against New York either. That would be three consecutive league games that he would not play. And prioritizing the cup games and prioritizing the national team friendlies, you know, Copa America warm-ups, whatever you want to call them. But they're friendlies. They're not matches that mean anything. So, you know, I am sure that MLS would be disappointed every single MLS game that he's going to skip. That said, everyone that he does play, you know, the number of tickets that they're selling, the number of shirts that they're selling, the number of eyeballs that they're getting on the, you know, on Apple, or just people watching and paying attention, people that are just fringe sports fans. They all know that Messi's here. You know, he was on a Super Bowl ad, for God's sakes. You know, you've got an MLS player
right.
doing a Super Bowl commercial. That means, you know, that's big. That's big in American sports landscape to have a star who's big enough to be on a Super Bowl commercial. And they've got one now. They've got Lionel Messi. He's the biggest thing ever to come to this country, bigger than, you know, Beckham. I mean, Beckham was huge too, but Beckham was not the best player in the history of the sport. Beckham was just maybe the best looking player in the history of the sport, or the most, you know, photographed. But Messi is truly, you know, on the level of Pelé. We're talking about an iconic figure in the sport, and he's now playing in this league. And it's the impact that he has is, I mean, you can't even quantify, you cannot quantify what he's going to do in this league over this 2 year stretch that he's going to be here. It's massive. It really is.
Let's talk more about the impact on the field. I remember when he came in, I was speaking with my friend who's not a big MLS fan, but was had questions about it, and was like, he's going to tear the league up right away. And I said, well, he's coming off of, you know, he's getting up there in age. Obviously, PSG wasn't his best. I think he's going to need to take some time. There's no way that one player is going to improve the players around that quickly. It's going to take. And I was wrong about all of that. Everything about it that was incorrect. He came in ready to go, scoring goals at will, finding every single moment. Anything that could have been like crafted for, this is the TV moment that Messi's going to do the thing. He did it, which is MLS had to be completely like this. It was worth every dollar, whatever we did. This was worth it. But as far as you look at Atlanta, obviously they're in first place right now. It's early days. They're on 7 points, tied with a million people. Toronto's tied for first place. So obviously MLS is upside down already, but I would say with him on the field, they look like a world beater. And when he's not on the field, I think they're struggling to find the fulcrum. They're trying to figure out maybe their identity without him on the field. Because when he's there, they are feeding him the ball. If you look at his stats for utilization, obviously, he's the hub of the spokes. What do you, as you've been watching all these games, the differential between with Messi and without, which will be important to DC United fans this weekend.
It's totally different.
What do you notice as you're watching
it's
that?
It's a totally different team. And, you know, Gary Smith said it last night. He's such a good quote, the Nashville coach. He said, you know, the minute Messi left the field in the 50th minute last night, he said, thank goodness. That's what he said. He said, thank goodness, because the minute he leaves the field, he said the performance drops, you know, and they felt the minute he left the field, all of a sudden the opponent feels like, oh, maybe we have a chance now. And the teammates, the thing that he does is not only what he does with the ball himself, but the thing Gary Smith was talking about, which is so evident all the time, is what when he's on the field, everything goes into the next gear. Every other player makes runs that they don't make when he's on the field. The run last night that Diego Gomez made to get him the ball, I don't see him making that same run for Robert Taylor or for Campana or for, you know, whatever, Higuain last year. You know, he elevates everybody around him. When he's on the field, there's a very strong, the way Gary Smith said it, is just there's this incredible belief and confidence in his skill, in his decision-making, in his vision, that if you are on the field with him, and you can deliver him the ball, something good is probably going to happen. And so the other players are so incredibly motivated by him when they're on the field with him. And you can just see they raise up to a different notch, a different level when he's on the field. When he comes off the field, those same exact guys all of a sudden look human. They look mortal. They look like, you know, a little more vulnerable. When he's on the field and he's in the center of everything, it's like, you know, the defenders are thinking, uh-oh, you know, at any second when he gets the ball, like that goal that he scored, I mean, there were three defenders on him. Anybody else gets that pass and immediately they're thinking, oh, I'm covered by three guys. Let me dish this ball off to somebody else. He's thinking, I see a space this big and I'm going to kick it right through there and I'm going to score a goal. You know what I mean? Like, he makes those decisions so quickly, so precisely, and he's just so skilled. It's ridiculous. So when he's on the field, Miami is a very, very, they really are, when they're all on the field, all those four guys, and when he's on and he's motivated and he's healthy, they're a really, really, really good team, as we saw with the League's Cup last summer. I didn't think either. I thought there was going to be a transition period, an adjustment period, and he comes in and scores in his very first game in this dramatic, you know, made-for-TV moment. And then, they end up, you know, basically like winning 12 games in a row or whatever, 12 game unbeaten streak. It was crazy what happened last summer. Of course, as soon as he got hurt, Messi's out, not the same team. In fact, I believe over the last 7 games, and I have to check this exact statistic, but I believe that over the last 7 games that he has not played with them, they have not won. I think they are 0-3-4. So they have not learned to win without him, which is good news for DC, because if he's not going to be there, they're getting the messy-less version of the team. And that's not quite as messy as getting the messy version of the team, which is a very, very hard team to beat. So, you know, the onus on the Miami players on Saturday is really going to be, they want to prove that they can win without him. But so far, they have not really proven that very well. So that's going to be their motivation. And DC United is just, even though the other guys are also former Barcelona players and so on, not quite as intimidating as being on the field with Lionel Messi.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thought on this too. Tata Martino said sort of in the run-up, it might have been before the first Champions Cup game, that he's prioritizing those tournaments. In the early season, that's where he's going to allocate his resources. And there was speculation on our show, is basically like, I don't know that he's sure how many miles Luis Suarez has in his legs. He knows he has them all at the beginning of the season. Obviously, he's got, you know, the dodginess of his knees is well documented.
Right.
And sometimes when you see him sprint, you can see every single mile that's been on those. So I think it's, if you're looking at what's the way you can guarantee or try to focus on Messi's availability, health, the age of these players, and marshal your resources on that. Is he doing that based on the age of his roster and the fact that Messi may not be available? Messi is going to has other priorities as well as MLS. He's going to make sure that he's available for Argentina whenever Argentina play. That's up there.
Oh yeah.
Do you think that's why Martino focused on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at. They have to be strategic. It's a very, very long season. So you've got 34 MLS games, and that season goes on until the end of November and really early December. If they were to make MLS Cup, that goes on until early December. We're only in mid-March right now. That seems like an eternity away, the way Tata has explained it to us. So he's in this league that is going to go on forever and ever and ever until the first week of December, or, you know, at least November for the playoffs. So that seems like way far ahead way ahead. Now you've got Champions Cup. He said right now that was the most important because there was no margin for error. He said with the MLS season, when he was choosing between who's going to play Montreal game and who's going to play Champions Cup games, he said, if we lose a couple MLS games right now, you know, you can make that up. But when you're playing in Champions Cup, it's do or die. Right now, he said, we're about to face a decisive game on Wednesday against Nashville. You can't make that up. You're either going to win or you're going to lose. You're going to be in or you're going to be out. So he did prioritize. Yes, he sat all four of those guys, you know, against Montreal. I mean, Messi didn't play at all. Jordi did play, but the other two came in late in the game. And he sat three other starters. So, you know, yes, the priority, and it was the same for Nashville. By the way, Nashville made 10 changes in their lineup. The lineup that Nashville used against LA over the weekend had 10 players different. It was not their starting lineup at all that played against Miami. And then they brought them back for the game last night. So it's not just Miami. Again, I always feel like a lot of the attention is paid to Miami, like, oh, Miami sat their players and is prioritizing Champions Cup, but so did Nashville. Nashville also sat 10 players. Miami sat 5. Nashville sat 10. Well, 9 plus Walker Zimmerman, who was injured. So both teams and other clubs, maybe too, are prioritizing the cup because it's a $5 million prize. It's a chance to be in the World Club Championship, and they're already in the round of 16. They were in the round of 16, so they basically have to just get to the quarterfinals, the semis, and the final. You've got this little window of opportunity, and there is no room for error. There's no margin for error. Whereas the MLS games, there are 34 of them that are going to go on until eternity, until November. So the way he sees it, Tata, is I have time to make up for losses, early season losses in MLS. Not saying that they're going in to lose the games, but if he has to choose on a particular week, that's a you know, they had four games over 12 days. So they were playing every 3 days. So if you're playing every 3 days, four games, 12 days, you have to decide what's the priority. And in this particular week, definitely the priority was the Champions Cup. The Montreal game was not the priority. And going forward now for Messi, the national team is very important to him. I mean, national team is important to a lot of people, mm-hmm. but this is the tail end of his career. He wants to play another Copa, and he may want to play another World Cup. I don't know. He'll be really old by then, but he definitely wants to play Copa America. It's in the United States this summer. I think that was one of the motivating factors for him to come to the United States, is that this very tournament is going to be here on American soil. So, you know, he wants to play in that, and he's going to prepare himself and rest himself to be able to play in June with that Argentina shirt on. So these games coming up, these friendlies, Copa warmups that are going to be played in Philly and LA between them and El Salvador and Costa Rica, these are important games to him as an Argentine national team player who's at the end of his career. So it's kind of hard for the fans. You know, my husband is one of them. My husband has a season ticket for Inter Miami. I go to the games because I'm covering them, and he goes by himself and just sits in the stands. And he has a really good seat. He forked over a lot of money to get a good seat, and they doubled the price this year. So last year, his ticket last year was $3,500 for the season, which, you know, by NBA and NFL standards, that was nothing. It was actually very cheap, MLS tickets. But then they doubled them this year. So his ticket is now $7,500 for one seat. And he decided to do it, but he was not too thrilled that the starters were benched for the Montreal game, because my husband said, this is the team that I bought tickets to see 17 MLS home games. And they're telling me that the cup is a priority, which I get it, but then they should let the season ticket holders also get tickets for the cup games. The cup games were not part of the season ticket package. You had to, you know, buy a whole other ticket if you want to go to the cup games. So, you know, they're kind of in a little bit of a conundrum because, you know, the season ticket holders are going to be your bread and butter. They were here before Messi. They're hopefully for the club going to be there after Messi. But if the season ticket holders feel that MLS is the lower on the totem pole of priorities, that's going to make them a little upset that they're paying double the price and not getting Messi every game that he's available to play. I do think that this will work itself out as the season goes on later. I think right now you've got Champions Cup right now in the spring, and you've got the Copa America coming up in June and July. I think after that, well, then you'll have the League's Cup, but, I think they will have time to rectify and to have Messi on the field plenty of MLS games. I don't think he's just going to sit out all the MLS games and only play cup games. I just think that week by week or month by month, they are putting together a calendar, not only for him, but also for Busquets and for Alba and for Luis Suarez. They're putting together a calendar of what makes sense to get as much as they can out of those guys, and also understanding that there is pressure from fans who are paying a lot of money to see these guys. So you better showcase them to the MLS ticket holders as well. So they're pulled in a lot of directions. I wouldn't want to be Chris Henderson. I wouldn't want to be Tata right now.
Tata is the only, I feel like it's such a good, it was such a good thing for Messi that he was the manager, because so many other managers would feel the pressure to make decisions that were anything other than sporting, right? Anything right. other than like, what is the best thing that we can do? So from his perspective, it's very good that he's got a manager that is like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this schedule. By the way, I think traveling fans would love to see that schedule. Love to see that that planned out. All right, Jordi Alba's a yes, no, yes, Busquets, yes. And then that right. way they can decide what they're going to do. So let's talk about that game coming up. So obviously we had just one, was it one night ago? Was that when the Nashville game was?
Yes.
Yesterday, right?
Yes, last night.
2 days ago? What day is it? I don't even know.
Last night.
So they haven't had training. They haven't had training yet. Did they have training today? I assume they had a day off.
They'll be out tomorrow.
Or did they train today?
No, they'll train tomorrow.
So, obviously, no Messi, but these poor teams in Champions Cup right now. It's too early in the season for all these teams to get thrown into the spin cycle. But what kind of team do you think is able to come down to DC? Obviously, they have played four games in 2 weeks, I think you said. So, what are you anticipating fans in DC seeing, and also just the freshness in these legs after all these miles?
I think they did play their full roster for the Champions Cup last night. Those guys were really fired up. They really wanted to get this. They wanted to advance. They did. They looked really, really good when Messi was in the game. They looked really good, and they were good after. I mean, Robert Taylor scored after Messi. Robert Taylor replaced Messi and he scored. So it's not that nobody else can score. And they do have Luis Suarez now, and Luis Suarez is a very, very good player. He has scored 4 goals already in 6 games, and Messi has scored 5. So the two of them combined have scored 9 goals over the 6 games. I think Miami is going to be motivated against DC because, again, the supporting cast wants to show that it can win without him. And they have not really been able to do that. And that's sort of a knock on the rest of the team that like, okay, you guys are good, but only when he's in there. And the rest of the time, you don't really live up to all of your high salaries. Cause a lot of them are, these are high profile guys. These are guys that are making good money. They want to show that they can play and win without him. I think there's enough legs there. I think they have enough. They have a really good roster. They really do. Even without Messi, you still have 3 guys who played on FC Barcelona together. You've got Julian Gressel. He knows the league very well. I mean, I do think they're missing Yedlin's.
We know him speed. Too. We miss him.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. So he's.
So we know and miss him very much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you've got Gressel, who's a leader. He knows the league and all that. And then you've got Federico Redondo has done a great job so far. He first game not so good. After that, yes, he's playing very well alongside Busquets. It looks like they've been playing together for a long time, even though they haven't. And that was the whole idea, was to bring him in because Busquets is not going to be running around that much. He's really a guy who's going to, facilitate and look around and be more of a visionary. And then you've got a guy, his little sidekick, not little, he's tall. They're both tall. So you've got his tall sidekick right there cleaning, helping him with whatever he's not going to do, Fede is going to do. And they really needed that. They really needed that guy. So they've got that guy now. The defense has looked a little vulnerable at times, although they did better last night against Nashville. They did better than they had. He keeps wanting to play the 5 in back, which there's a lot of debate about that, because then he leaves when guys run forward, Tata's like, everybody go, 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 go. You always see him going, everybody push up. But then you leave gigantic spaces of field and they get exposed. They can get exposed because they don't have exactly a lot of speedsters around. They got rid of Yedlin, who was really fast. So, they can't leave those big, giant open spaces, because when they do that, they do tend to get punished. I have to say, they do tend to get punished, especially on the non-Alba side. You notice that the other teams are definitely attacking on the other side that Alba is not on. So Alba takes pretty good care of that left sideline. The right side is the side that's going to be more suspect, more vulnerable. And, teams have been able to expose that weakness. you know, they've got Drake Callender had an amazing year last year. He's on the U.S. national team now. He was just called up. He was one of two MLS players, I think, called up for this Nations Cup thing with the national team. So you've got, you know, a good goalkeeper. The big question is going to be if the guys can score without him. You know, can Campana score? Can Robert Taylor score? Can Luis Suarez score without having Messi there drawing all the attention from the defense? So, but I think they have enough. I mean, I think this is this. I think this team can be very good without Messi, but they have not thus far. They need to really show that they can do it. So I think they will be highly motivated, even though they're coming off a big game against Nashville, and it may seem like this is kind of a letdown game. I do think that they're going to be motivated to show that they can win without Messi.
I think DC fans are fine with that as long as it's next week, as long as it's another of the many times that they will be without. So one quick question. I'm just curious. I have as a point of personal question. I said the answer to this is no. I have friends that have paid over the odds on these tickets, and they said it would be great if he just is in the stadium, if he is around. I say if he's not going to play, keep him home, rest him. Why put the miles? Do you imagine he travels with the team even if he's not going to play?
Nope. I mean, he hasn't before.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He hasn't. The games that he hasn't played, he hasn't traveled. You know, the one he did when he was in Hong Kong, it was a disaster because once he is there, then everybody wants to see him and they want him to at least come out onto the field and chat and get on the microphone and wave to everyone. And that would be wonderful. It's not him. I got to tell you, Lionel Messi is not David Beckham. If you watch their two documentaries, you can see the big difference between those two guys. You know, David Beckham is a people person. He's personable. He loves to meet people. He likes talking to the media. He likes talking to fans and all that stuff. Messi is extremely introverted, extremely private, you know, almost awkward when he does have to do, you know, interviews and things like that, especially in front of big crowds. He's not very comfortable. You know, the place he's comfortable is on the field. That is where he belongs, and that's where he wants to be. And then behind the scenes, he wants to be only with his close little tiny, you know, circle of friends and family. He's not interested in becoming an ambassador for MLS. He is an ambassador by the very virtue of him being here. He's an ambassador, but that's not a role that he is embracing and saying, I'm going to go out there and promote this league. You know, I'm sure in his mind he's thinking, hey, buddies, like, I'm here. I'm wearing your jersey. I'm wearing a Inter Miami shirt. That's it. You know, you're getting me. You're getting me on the field. And that is, you know, promotion enough. I'm not saying he's really saying that, but I think in his mind he's thinking that. And his inner circle is thinking that he's not going to go around and, you know, make it a point to hobnob with fans in every market and try to promote MLS to the world or to the United States sports landscape. That's not what he's here for. He's here to play soccer. He wanted to be in the United States. He wanted to be in Miami. He's got all his little friends with him now playing with him. He basically has a little reunion tour with his buddies. All their wives are friends. Their kids are friends. You know, it's like, he's really happy, and I don't think he would travel if he's not playing. That would be my guess. If I had to guess, I would say he stays back home with his family. He's going to be traveling a lot coming up with the league, with Copa America, with the camp before Copa America, with Leagues Cup. He is probably going to want to stay home and be with his kids and be with his wife. That's my guess. His kids are playing youth soccer now. He goes to the games. He sits there and drinks his mate on the sideline and watches the kids. I think that that's what he'll probably be doing this weekend. That's my guess. But you'll see me. I'll be there.
All right.
I will be there in the press box.
There you go.
Yeah. I know that's not as
exciting.
You
can't get a picture with Messi, but you can look up.
That's right.
You can look up in the press box over the DC United bench.
I'll wave at all the fans.
Actually, no, they switched it. So
I will wave at all the fans. I'll wave at all the fans.
So you have said you think this is going to be a prove-it game, even though this is coming off of a midweek game. We always ask for predictions. How do you see this game going as far as a scoreline perspective?
Scoreline. Well, I'm going to say that Miami's going to win 2-1. That would be my prediction.
All right.
But who knows? This sport is so weird.
I have the converse. Both teams will score. I think both teams are going to score. Benteke's playing.
Oh, right.
DC United have sorely. Yes. He's the entire offense. So without him, it's a crapshoot.
Right. And Miami's defense,
anyway, Michelle, thank you so much. Where can people?
Miami's defense has had some spotty moments. So you've got a good guy. You've got a spotty defense. There's definitely hope for DC.
Where can people find all of your work? Obviously, in the Miami Herald, you talk about your podcast. Let people know the names of everything.
You can find me on Twitter at Kauf Sports, K-A-U-F Sports. So I'm at Kauf Sports on Twitter, MiamiHerald.com. The podcast is on YouTube. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify. It's called Inside Inner Miami. So you can find me in all of those places. I'm everywhere all the time.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining, Michelle. Everyone else, we will be back on our normal Monday live show on Twitch at 8:30. And if you're listening to this, you're a Patreon. We thank you. And if you're hearing this after the fact and you want to become a Patreon, patreon.com/RFKRefugees, you get everything first. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Vamos. Thank you for listening to RFK Refugees Podcast. Make sure you rate and review the show wherever you download podcasts. If you want to support the show, consider joining our Patreon or subscribing to our channel on Twitch. Lastly, make sure you're following us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, Twitch, Goals.tv, Friendster, MySpace, and Tumblr. Some of those are even real. Vamos.